today in speaking about his instructions for civilized human beings, Narada Muni was making a statement, quote, "Therefore, since the body is false, the sense objects are also naturally false or temporary." Actually, in the verse itself, there is the words "or temporary" are not there. This is added by Srila Prabhupada. And they're added by Srila Prabhupada for a very important purpose. Because we find that in Shruti as well as Smriti, here is Smriti, Srimad Bhagavatam, the word asati, unreal, asan, not existing, terms like this are to be found in relationship to this material world, in relationship to this material body. And the context of this terminology needs to be understood. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, very often, if not every time, that such terms are used, adds, qualifies it by explaining that false or unreal or non-existent refers to something being temporary. It's in perspective of the eternal, in comparison to the spirit soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in relationship to the spiritual world. That which we experience here in this material world, because of its temporary nature, in relationship to that which is eternal, it doesn't exist in eternality. It is not real in eternality. But in terms of its own context, and in terms of a sense of overall absolute context, seeing both material and spiritual, it does have existence. It does have a sense of reality, but its reality and existence is different from that which is transcendental or spiritual. In the same way, the Shastra also says that the absolute truth is nirguna. It has no qualities. It doesn't mean that it has no qualities. It just means that in the sense of transcendental qualities, it has no material qualities. Its qualities are all transcendental. When Mayavadis see such terminology, then what do they say? They say, yes, here, this is proof that the only reality is Brahman, and everything in this material world, Jagan Mitya, is all illusion. But Vaishnavas don't see everything here in material world as being illusion or non-existent. They see it as being temporary. And there are very serious consequences between the two types of perception. So it's important to understand this terminology, because even Krishna himself says, Nasati vidyate bhavo nabhavo vidyate sataha ubayurapi drishtuntas tvaniostattva darshibi. He says that, yes, the spirit soul exists and the body doesn't exist. What does he mean when he says it doesn't exist? It means that it's temporary. So what is the example of this temporary nature? What does it mean that it's non-exist? Example that Srila Prabhupada as well as Shastra gives is that of the a object and its shadow. A shadow is certainly something that exists. It's a shadow, abhas. It's a shadow of an object. But it doesn't serve the same function as the object does. A shadow of a person has the outline of the person and indicates certain movements of the person, but it doesn't see, it doesn't talk, it doesn't taste, it doesn't think, it doesn't do any of these things. So it has a very serious qualitative difference than the original thing. But it gives an indication of the person. For instance, if someone is hiding behind a tree and the sun is shining to his side, then you will see his shadow cast on the ground. You can know, oh, this person is hiding behind a tree. You can find that person by help of his shadow. And this is where this philosophy has reality to devotees, to Vaishnavas, because we can say, well, that's fine, this is nice philosophy, but of what relevance is it to us? It is of great relevance. This is the first point. Srimad Bhagavatam begins, Tejo Pariyatra Vinimayu Atra Atra Sarga Amrisha Svena Sada Nirashta Kuhukam, that this world has a sense of reality because it is a shadow, a reflection of the Absolute reality. Therefore, devotees see that, yes, this world is a shadow of transcendence. Therefore, by studying this world, you get an idea of the nature of transcendence, some idea. Limited, but you get some idea. What is that some idea? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Keshava Dritta Jagata Vichitra. O Keshava, your creation is so variegated. If the creation is variegated, then the creator must be variegated. The creator cannot be some non-differentiated Brahman. There must be qualities within it, because there's qualities within its shadow. So qualities must also be there. There's movement in the shadow. That means there's movement in the original substance which casts that shadow, in the original object that casts that shadow. So devotees are able to study certain characteristics of the Absolute Truth by studying this material world. Furthermore, what is also of importance is this body and this material world, if it's unreal, if it doesn't exist, then it has no practical application in terms of coming to the stage of self-realization. And that's why, one of the reasons why Shankaracharya preached Mayavad philosophy, because for the ordinary man, for all practical purposes, it is invalid and unpracticable as a process of realization. You can't become self-realized by it, because how can you then use this material world, which is illusion, to come to reality? Either you're already self-realized before you come into this world, and of course the question to the Mayavadis is, then what are you doing in this world if you're self-realized to start with? But if this material world is illusion, irrelevant, as is the body, then it serves no particular purpose and can't be used as an instrument in order to achieve self-realization. But for Vaishnav, just the opposite is true. A Vaishnav recognizes that this body and this world are instruments that can be used for engaging in bhakti and devotion. Otherwise, how do you become a perfect bhakta if you cannot use what you have now as Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, as service to the Supreme Lord? And this is what Rupa Goswami calls Yukta Vairagya. The Mayavadis are Phalgu Vairagya. They artificially renounce this world. Devotees don't renounce this world, but rather without too much detachment and too much attachment, they use this world, which is the real shadow of the real Supreme Person. It is his energy, in order to practice devotional service. And that by that practice, they can become perfect. And when they become perfect, yes, because they're not too attached to this world, therefore they leave this world behind and go on to eternal service, to the realm of, yes, real eternality, to the realm of real substance. And because devotees use this world, they remain an enigma for everyone, for materialists as well as other spiritualists. The jnanis and yogis, they see Vaishnavas as being sense enjoyers, as being materialists. They have families, they have houses, they put so much energy into using this world for preaching Krishna's glories, which may really require the maintenance of temples and farms and so many other things. And the materialistic people, they just see that devotees are living under very austere circumstances. They see them as religious fanatics who've actually really abandoned this world. Or some amongst them may say that, well, they're just hypocrites because they say that they don't care for this world, but still they're using this world. A devotee can only be understood by a Vaishnav. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. No one else other than a Vaishnav really understands how and why Vaishnavas use this body, move in this world, and utilize this world for the service of the Lord, for their own liberation, and ultimately use it as an instrument for going back home, back to Godhead. As the Bhagavatam states, removing a thorn with a thorn. We use the material energy to become free from the influence of the material energy. In this way, Vaishnavas are in a class of their own. And therefore, whenever such statements of scriptures are found, that this world is illusion, then they know that it's saying that actually this world is temporary. And if you think that it's permanent, that is illusion. Hare Krishna.